This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Senator Penny Wong. You're listening to Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello, and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. It's lovely to have you with us on this, our second return broadcast of this summer season.
Our triumphant return.
Are we?
Weren't we triumphant?
We were triumphant, yes.
But well, we all came home, didn't we, from our holidays?
That's right.
From your holidays.
But I want to ask a question.
Go for it.
Where did that week go? The last week go? Where did it go? We're here again. It just seemed to go...
Boom. It went with the rest of October. And next thing you know, it'll be Christmas.
Yeah, well, you're not wrong there, Harry. Yeah.
Well, fortunately, there's a couple of public holidays coming up fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
Melbourne Cup Day.
There's only the one.
Yeah, that's right.
Only the one between here and Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, we do need
that. Oh, well,
that
doesn't matter. We don't. Australians love a public holiday. We're wonderful, wonderful.
Except the one before the grand final for some reason.
Don't know how that came to be on the books, no. Anyway, not to worry.
Not to worry. I'm Gordon, anyhow. How are you, Chris?
Hello, Gordon. I'm well, thank you.
And I'm Phil.
You're Phil, yes.
I was Phil last week, and I liked it, so I'm going to be Phil again this week.
All right, then. Excellent. Thank you for joining us on Been There, Done That, Joy's History Program. Not only our own history program, but history of Australia and of the world and of events that are occurring and that have got a gay connection, usually. Somewhere in there, we will find it.
But also there's certain things that affect our whole lives, whether we're gay or straight, that happen in history that really, when you think about it, it's been quite an amazing thing that has happened and it's just boosted everybody up or knocked everybody down. But we can discuss them all.
Oh, we will indeed. And we will indeed, because in today's show, we'll be celebrating a couple of birthdays and talking about those people and their lives. Gay people, yes, yes, yes. Looking at the list here, the four people that we've got listed all qualify.
Yes, they certainly do.
And we'll be playing the music of a couple of gay artists as well. Lots of interesting pieces of history that we'll reveal to you as we go on. But first off, on the 1st of November, back in 1959, a young lad had a birthday.
A little baby was born. Not the baby Jesus, but a little baby.
Equally as miraculous, I might add.
Yes. Well, you better add because it's your birthday.
That's right.
Yes.
So now, I must explain to the listener that I was born at a very young age. And I don't recall much of the actual event.
Don't you?
No.
It's also not only Phil's birthday on Wednesday, it's also, we believe, Eddie's birthday as well.
My four-legged fiend, got him around New Year's and he was 8 weeks old. So we backdate him to November 1st.
Oh, right.
Well, that's he's going to be 13 years old.
13.
You wonder where October went. I don't know where those 13 years went.
When you've got a little dog, you don't wonder whether everything is just...
Oh, it's amazing. Before you have a dog... In the suburbs, you don't exist. Now there'd be easily 100 people that I can just speak to as friends that I would never have known otherwise.
Well, you have a doggy Christmas party to start
we
with.
We do. So at Moreton Park, all dogs are invited.
And their masters, of course.
Well, somebody has to bring them. But yes, we've only ever had one incident.
What a punch-up.
Two of the larger dogs just don't get along, so we had to separate them.
Oh, right, yeah.
And when it's the dog that comes up to your chest, you do whatever he says.
And has one of them been uninvited from next Christmas party? That would solve the problem.
They're both welcome there at separate times, so maybe they could come at various times.
Yeah.
put them on a lead.
Prima donnas. They've both got to have their moments.
Yeah, well, that's the point, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, well, anyhow, so it's Phil's birthday, so happy birthday to Phil.
Yeah, send cash, not presents. Presents get broken in the mail.
Do they?
Yes.
Oh, golly. Yeah, okay.
We want to actually remind people that an event that happened on the 26th of October 1985 wasn't the end of the matter. It was the beginning of a kerfuffle that seems not to be sorted out. Parliament of the time, 1985, decided that the ownership of Uluru was, more appropriately, belonged to the original inhabitants of this country.
The original owners of that area, the Pitjara people. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was quite a significant event to hand back. Well, not that we ever owned anything that we could hand it back, because we never have owned that monolith, and it was handed back to the indigenous people of the area, which was a wonderful gesture on behalf of the government. But then again, we've come up to date now, because recently, like a few months ago, they had a very big meeting there of the indigenous leaders, and it took a lot of work to get all these leaders together from the different mobs around Australia, and they got them all together to come in and work out something that they could work with the government for have to be reconciled into the constitution.
Well, representation into the parliament.
That's right. Yeah,
gateway for their voice to be actually heard.
And they had a wonderful conference. They came up with some great ideas, which was absolutely terrific. And they wanted to have a body to
a committee, a council
to help the represent the people, the indigenous people of Australia, so that they could tell the government what they needed. And, of course, that went before the government at the moment and got thrown out. The government said, no, we're not going to do any of that. And everybody kept saying that they would have another House of Parliament for the Indigenous community. But it wasn't a House of Parliament at all. They just made this up that it was going to be a House of Parliament. It was going to be just a consultative body.
Yeah, they made that concept up so that they could actually deny. They had a reason to deny the whole process, and that's what they've gone and done.
Yeah, and Noel Pearce has said it was like a kick in the guts. They did all this work that took them years to get these people together to work out what they could give to the government to help them work out what to do for our own country's people, which, like, they've been here for 70,000 years, is now proven out, and they still don't want to recognise them. To me, it is so stupid. When I heard that, I was swearing at the television. I was going right off. I thought, you know, typical, typical, typical.
All we need to do is just resubmit it when there's a more progressive government.
Well, that's right. Well, if we get a progressive government, but we don't. My thing on the whole thing these days is that we don't have a leader. We don't have leaders. We just have people that are sitting up there doing talking.
We have Malcolm in the muddle.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know whether the other side is going to be much better either. But this is the thing, you know.
But we need to change our concept of ownership.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Because the Aboriginals didn't own the land. They belonged to the land.
They belonged to the land.
And we've got to get that into our heads.
Yes.
And saying, well, we're not giving you back your land.
It was yours to start with.
Well, you belong to it. It's not a possession.
Yes, well,
we're very capitalistic, and we have to, you know, he who dies with the most toys.
Mm.
Yeah, but they did in fact declare that all the ground around Uluru then became sacred land, and the rock became sacred. Whereas before, you could any tourist could run up and down it if they had.
But if you wanted to run up and down,
and all sorts of wicked things happened in that sacred temple. There is respect for this great, wonderful monolith.
What would happen if you went and tried to write graffiti all over St. Paul's Cathedral or St. Patrick's Cathedral? Where would you be? In jail, I reckon. But this is the point, you know, and it's these people have been here for all that length of time, and they're still not being recognised. That really gives me the irrits. I'm sorry.
I get very upset
about this. Very. And I just think it's wrong. They're human beings. They deserve to be acknowledged.
And respected.
Know. Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And not silenced.
No. And, of course, it's another thing. There's other things that are going on, of course, as well in this place we call the Parliament at the moment, which to me, as I said, not elitist. None of them are leaders.
But they're lazy and clever. They're outsourcing everything.
That's right.
They'll just have a survey every time they need to make a decision.
Oh, no, you sell everything off, like the gas and the electricity, and then the prices rise and everybody wonders why. Hello? People that bought them want to make a profit. So there you
Shock
go.
Shock horror.
Shock horror. Yeah. But anyhow.
And we need to someone else who's having a birthday round about this time is a person by the name of Catherine Dawn Lang.
Mm-hmm.
Better known as K.D. Lang.
K.D., yes. And not in capital letters either.
No. Canadian pop and country singer-songwriter and occasional actress.
Yes.
She's won lots of awards. She's distinctively different.
She's been to Joy as well.
Yeah.
Over the years. She's been into Joy, yep.
But as well as being a singer, she's contributed songs to movie soundtracks and has collaborated with musicians such as Roy Orbison, Tony Bennett, Elton John, Anne Murray, Ann Wilson, and Jane Sibrey. And in her spare time, she's an animal rights and gay rights and Tibetan human rights activist.
She gets involved, yeah.
She sounds like a sensible lesbian.
Yes, wonderful woman. Wonderful
and
woman.
Doesn't wear shoes on stage.
I saw her with Tony Bennett at the at Hamer Hall, and it was a wonderful concert.
Really. You'd be nice and close too, wouldn't you?
Well, it was fine, except that the fellow in front of me was about 7 feet 10 tall, and it obstructed my view, so I had to sort of sit with my head to one side of either side of him to see the stage. I don't know what the people behind me thought either, because they would have been blocked as well. But anyhow, you hear the voices, and you did see them, but so it was a lovely concert. And I heard an interview with Tony Bennett's daughter on the radio the other day, and she's a jazz singer. And she said her father's still singing, still painting.
Wow.
Yeah, he's nearly 90.
Wow.
Still singing.
Excellent.
He only does matinees. He doesn't do nighttime performances. He only goes out, sings in the
That's
afternoon.
That's right, yeah. I like that concept, yeah. Retire when the sunshine goes.
Yes, well, we can talk about that a bit later. Sleeping when the sun goes down.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes. Okay, that's a little topic. Yeah, we'll kick around.
We're going to kick around that a little bit later. Yeah.
Yes, you're with Gordon, Phil, and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. In Perth. You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us.
Yes. And can I just have one little mention that you've still got time to post your postal vote in if you get it in now.
Yes.
Because it's got to be in by the 7th of November. So you've still it's got to be in Canberra at the 7th of November. So if you haven't filled out your form, and there are quite a lot of forms still sitting around at somebody in quite a few houses that haven't been filled in, and you want to vote yes, make sure you do it now, because we really need your vote.
It's going to be very interesting to see what happens politically once the votes have been counted, and to see what the next step in the process is, to see whether in fact there is any enthusiasm to allow us to have our equality rights.
But I did read an article in one of the papers about this, and they said that the right wing and the Lyle Sheltons and the other people of this world are really going to be going against anything changed by the government before Christmas. Yeah. They really are going to be pushing. So we want a huge outcome for the yes side so that they don't have anything to say.
Well,
I think they've said enough anyhow.
Quite frankly. In fact, a lot of what they've said is actually shooting themselves in the foot.
Oh, of course it is, yes. Well,
they haven't said a thing about equal rights.
They haven't said
anything
about equal rights or equal marriage. It's all about safe schools and how children need this, that and the other, but it is definitely not on. So there, get out, get this vote going, yeah, and let's have equality.
I have a horrible feeling, though, because this mail vote was them keeping their election promise, like the first one ever.
That's right.
And now they're going to emphasise that they promised that it was non-binding.
Yes, that's right.
There's an out already built
their
into
out
it.
Their out is built into it, yeah. But if they get enough votes for the on the yes side, they can't do anything. They'll have to do it.
Well, you can only ignore the truth for so long.
Mm. Oh, well, they've been ignoring the truth for a fair while, Phil.
And in fact, the people who sort of do the numbers are actually enthused with the degree of participation by the Australian ordinary person.
Well, it's been bigger than the Irish referendum. They've had more people respond.
About 75%.
Yeah, and the Irish people only had about 60.
Yeah.
Mm. So there you go. So, but we still need more votes on the yes side, please.
Oh, but can we trust our politicians? No, we can't.
Excuse me. Don't even know whether you're able to sit in Parliament before you start, where else do you go?
That's right. And do, in fact, politicians make right decisions all the time anyway?
No. That's why they sometimes have to change things.
Well, what happened back in 1917 on the 2nd of November, Britain made a declaration intending to establish a Jewish state within Palestine.
That's right.
Now, up until this date, or that particular date, there was no concept of there actually being the land of Zion.
No.
As written in the Bible, in the Old Testament. That was the state that existed 2,000 years ago, or even more, and it was the land of the Jews. Yeah, fair enough, but it didn't exist in the world of 1917.
No, because the British had actually redrawn boundaries all over the blasted place.
Oh, they had. But they made no allowance.
No allowance for a state of Israel.
The state of Jewry, because the Jewish population was scattered amongst around the world, and they hadn't got their act together so that there was a single voice representing all those people. But at least someone within the British political scene, and there was lots of Jews there, said, okay, now's the time, as you suggest, to draw a line on the map so that there is a Jewish state.
Yeah, but it didn't come to pass until after the Second World War, which was another thing.
That's true.
That's the thing. You know, it was proposed in 1917, but it was after what Hitler did to the Jewish community in throughout Europe that it made it imperative that the Jewish people had their own country.
Would say that by doing that, by creating the Jewish state, there's been perpetual tension from that point onwards, and it will not result in anybody being a winner. No. Everybody will be a loser.
There's no, but it's almost the same as you've got the confrontation at the moment between America and North Korea. It's these couple of races of people that
assured destruction. Mad.
People don't seem to believe in that anymore.
No, but also in 1917, and it was part of the Jewish thing was the charge of the Light Brigade, the Light Cavalry Brigade.
The Australian
one, because before that they had...
Oh, that's where Malcolm's gone.
Malcolm's gone over to there to celebrate the 100th year of the anniversary, and they had a bit of it on the television last night. A lot of the families, the descendants of the people, the troopers that rode the horses, are going over there to do a reenactment, and they're over there already, and they showed a fair bit of that. But it was the last actual charge of any horse brigade. And it was they called it the Light Cavalry Brigade. As a the word cavalry was in it rather than the Light Brigade, which was the English one that had happened in 1887 during the Crimean War, which was the charge at Balaclava. And this one was in the First World War in 1917. Against it to charge into Israel with the or into the Jewish or that part of the area,
Palestine,
in Beersheba, yeah. And so, and then there was all the things. So they made a very good movie about it called The 40,000 Horsemen, but there weren't 40,000 horsemen involved, there was only several hundred.
Now, apart from the actual battle itself, all the horses were Australian,
yes,
they had been taken
right.
over
yep,
there,
yep.
and the riders were in fact required to shoot their own horses
but
because they couldn't bring them back to Australia.
Yeah, but a lot of them never did. They had to have somebody else to shoot them. They had to walk away. There was a lady on the television last night whose grandfather was one of the troopers, and they used the Australian stock horse, which is a bit different to the rest of the horse equine world, apparently, and she is now breeding these horses. She keeps the breed going. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, the stock horse. They're very much...
On something almost completely unrelated, we've just had a polo tournament in Australia.
Have we?
Oh.
An international tournament, and all the horses were provided by Australian competitors.
Oh, were they? Yeah.
Since we didn't want those foreign horses coming in and taking over the joint.
Well, we do for a horse racing, race. We let them come
in. Yes, but the polo, I think there's so much expense much stuff they bring.
Oh, right.
Plus, they have multiple horses for one game.
That's right. I've
learnt so much lately on stuff that I'd never wanted to know.
Yeah, but the Australian stock horse is a very, very rugged. It's not a big horse, but it's a very rugged horse.
Are they the same horses from the Snowy Mountains?
Up in the sort of basic that area. This lady breeds them out in New South Wales. And with a beautiful property she's got. And I thought to myself, good on you for keeping that alive. Anyhow.
So if you wanted a light brigade today, you'd have to either be low carbs or have less sugar or lower alcoholic in your beer, Sheba.
Something like that. Yeah.
Thank you, Phil. Again, everything I didn't want to know.
Well, there you go. We're edumacational.
Yeah, but it's a great centenary for the... families of the people are over there because a hell of a lot of the troopers were shot and their horses were injured and maimed as well because they rode into machine gun battlements and positions and all, you know. One of the guys got a distinguished cross, some sort of cross, he and his mate. They survived all the bullets and all the rest of it and got in and took control of a machine gun thing and then were able to turn it on the rest of them. So it helped save the day, and Australia won the battle. That's one of the great battles that Australia actually won.
Wow.
The cavalry charge.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're with Chris Gunn and Phil, been there, done that.
Can you tell the listeners how they can listen to a podcast if they want to hear something that we've done before and they haven't heard it? Because you can go back to our podcast. You don't have to do like today's one. How do you find the podcasts?
Well, the easiest way that I do it for me is I go onto the Joy homepage, click on the link to the program grid, and then just click on the name of our show, Been There, and that will actually take you to our podcast page.
Right.
Or if you've got a smart TV, podcasts can be viewed. You search on the screen and Joy is listed there. Or Apple iTunes.
Oh, right. Okay. Good. Thank you. That's very good.
And if you'd like to communicate with the program?
You can email us at beenthere@joy.org.au.
And thank you to Shane from Newport, who sent us a lovely little message as a result of last week's show.
He said he was happy to hear us back again. Yes.
Yeah. And that he liked all three of us.
He liked all three of us. Oh.
So it's not true.
Oh. Well, there's another. You know, there's another person having a birthday today who is very, very well known in the Australian community.
5th of November.
The 5th of November is her birthday, yes, and we're talking about the wonderful, wonderful Penny Wong.
Oh, right. We did have her ident
at the beginning
of the show.
That's right.
Yes.
It's her birthday
now,
in
talk
the
talk about politicians that...
Know their stuff.
Know their stuff. I was going to say... Yeah, won't let go if they know they're on the right side and they forward their argument and really deliver it well.
She's wonderful because she knows what she's talking about and she can be so incisive when she asks questions. And if somebody doesn't know the answer, boy, does she get them, you know. I think she's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful politician.
Now, interesting thing, when she went to university, she thought she would... maybe do medicine, but then when she was an exchange student going to Brazil, she found that she had an aversion to blood. So that got crossed off the list.
Well, you would wouldn't you?
So then she studied and graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Jurisprudence and a Bachelor of Laws with honours at the University of Adelaide, and completed graduate diploma in legal practice at the University of South Australia. So she's really learned in the art of the law.
And having an argument and knowing how to put a message across.
Not so much an argument, but argument is not the word, is it? Because argument,
discussion. Then
yeah, she really processes the argument well. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she's lucky because she's happily married with a couple of kids with her wife. You can't call them wife because we're not allowed to be married. Vote yes. Yeah. And so it would be a good thing for them too, because then they'd be able to have their marriage, their partnership recognised completely.
But she's one of the better politicians.
Oh, yeah. I like Penny.
And that vote yes outburst was written, spoken, and authorised
by me.
By Gordon.
By me. Vote yes.
There was an article recently about gay guys in the current climate who really have got a fetish almost. They're really super proud of their bodies, but they're over enhancing their bodies with going to the gym every week or every day.
Can I mention an article that I've just finished reading?
Yeah.
And it's about how the porn industry in America is changing the way straight men think about their bodies. Because the porn stars usually have great bodies, so I'm led to believe. Well, the photos that I saw in the article were pretty good bodies. But it's changing the way the straight men are thinking about their bodies, the way they should be presenting themselves.
Is it gay porn specifically? I only know, going back into the archives, that some of the straight porn artists were a lot less than attractive.
Yeah.
And made you wonder how they ever kept their job. Yeah,
but this is an American magazine I was reading, and they were sort of saying that it is changing the attitude of the straight men.
Well,
of the way they present
themselves.
There
was an article recently on ABC News and saying why porn is helping to fuel body dissatisfaction for gay men, and noticing that men are resorting to drastic measures to live up to an unrealistic body image ideal, with porn fueling their desire for perfection.
Well, let's put it this way. I don't think the three of us could ever be anything else than what we are. We could never look like porn stars.
No.
We don't.
Not now.
We're not built like that. Because you have to have that sort of a certain build to be able to get bodies like that. And you've got to be happy with what you have in your body.
True.
This is the point.
It's in the eye of the beholder whether a person is attractive or not. And like that lady you mentioned last week, she went absolutely berserk with your grey beard.
Yes, that's true too. But it's just the way things work.
You could have given it to her.
Well, I could.
Shave it off. You like it so much, you can have it.
Yeah, but as I say, with these fabulous physiques, you have to have that sort of body to start with. Doesn't matter how much work you do on a body that's not going to look like that. It doesn't matter.
We talk about women and girls trying to live up to the same thing. With their anorexia, trying to get slim figures like stick insects, Joanna Lumley called them.
But it's the way people see other people presented that they think is the norm, but it's not the norm. You are the norm. You know, the way you are is normal. So if you can do something to make yourself look a little bit better, do so. But don't expect to look like that Greek god or goddess that you worship, because it's not going to happen. You have to be happy with who you are.
We see lots of ideal bodies on the sporting fields, footballers. But have you seen those footballers 5 years later,
but once
they've stopped exercising and they've gotten just a little bit older, they turn into the lumps of lard that our fathers probably were.
But once again, they have the bodies for it.
Oh, yeah.
You see, this is the point. You cannot make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Not that I'm saying that you look like a sow's ear or I do. We all do. But we are all happy with who we are. We have to be.
Yeah, but that changes. Because in my 20s, I was at the gym a lot. And I travelled a lot and I was a lot more active.
But you were out of the gym perving on all the other blokes.
No, I wanted to get fit for my first trip to America.
Oh, right.
And, perving came later. In fact, there's a lot of... It's not perving. Straight men have no problem looking at each other.
No, they don't.
Either. So,
no.
But unfortunately, so many of them love looking at themselves that you really feel like throwing up. It's like, yes, that's a nice mirror. Oh, you're just looking at yourself.
Yes that's right. But
we've seen how people can get influenced by others to try and change their body shape or form. Poor old
who? Oh, Michael Jackson.
Poor old Michael Jackson. He was, a white boy inside a black...
That's what you call it.
White woman inside a black boy.
Was it? Is that what it was?
Someone quoted that, and I think that's probably as he saw things as well.
Yeah.
He was influenced by the pop culture and his concept of his icons.
His own beauty own magnificence had to be a white skin because he could.
Someone else who
looks after the body image.
Well, indeed.
I just add about Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Because on Spicks and Specks, they showed a clip of Michael and the Jackson 5 singing ABC.
Yeah.
When they were young.
And the host mentioned to the current viewing audience that, yes, that little black boy grew up to be that older white woman.
Yeah.
And it was the same person.
It's the same person.
That's right.
Yeah.
Someone else in the music industry who seems not to be happy with their own image and who died recently on the 23rd of October last year was Pete Burns, a UK musical artist and part of the group Dead or Alive. And sadly, now he is dead rather than being alive. But he, after his sort of initial music fame, decided that he was not particularly happy with the body that he was in. And he had a broken nose that needed to be fixed, probably from a sporting injury. And that the result of that wasn't all that crash hot. So four nose reconstructions and changing the cheekbone positions and implants there and other things, he changed his appearance. But as you would, infection set in, and a lot of these things didn't end up being as he intended.
Yeah.
And he died at the age of 57. Which is pretty young. Probably from all this damage that he'd done to his body.
Plus all the other things he might have done as a rock and roll singer,
don't
know about.
But all these medical things.
Do we have a problem with an industry? I'm talking about the plastic surgery industry. It is an industry, where they should be saying to this man, okay, we can repair the looks from your broken nose from the past.
Yeah.
But when he gets up to lip augmentation and doing all these other things, you really need to get a little more psychological.
Yeah.
And say, well, why do you think you need to look different?
Yeah, but
and get to the root of the problem instead of painting over it, where you're never going to be satisfied.
Very sad.
It must be a difficult situation if you feel that you are not good looking enough. And you want these things done to make yourself look more attractive, and it doesn't work out. It must be devastating to the psyche of the person that's doing it.
And see, much of his surgeries he did after the popularity of the single, You Spin Me Round Like a Bottle.
Yeah.
or like a record.
Yes.
Spin the Bottle's another story altogether.
Spin the Bottle's another story, yes.
Dr. Freud will talk to me about that later. But, yeah, if you've got cash in hand, things become doable.
Mm.
And I would imagine you spend less time thinking of not doing it when you can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Your own joy. Let's listen to Dead or Alive, You Spin Me Round, and you will know this song for sure.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Someone who also had a birthday round about this time was on the 4th of November 1946 was Robert Mapplethorpe. Now, he was a US and controversial photographer who did wonderful black and white imagery of the male body.
So he's getting back to what we were talking about just before that song, about the male body and the way people observe it, because his photography is absolutely superb, stunning stuff. It can be very confronting if you've ever been to an exhibition of his work. It's very confronting in some stages. Yes,
it is. But then you look at the old classical paintings, and there was people in the nude all around the place, except that they must have had some marvellous knitting mules. There seemed to be some very fine wispy cloth that always got draped in the right spot.
Or a piece of furniture or an arm or something strategically placed.
But then again, you see all the great Greek statues, of course, had look at David, for instance, with his with the way they Michelangelo portrayed David.
Can I point out that Mr. Mapplethorpe would never have taken a picture of David?
Why?
Because his willy was way too small.
No, that's the fault. That's the perspective that was built into the statue.
When you look up.
Because he's supposed to be high up, and you look up, and things were... He's actually head and shoulders a wrong proportion for the rest of his body.
It's one of those...
But he obviously wasn't gay then.
Who? Michelangelo?
Mm.
Campers are our tents.
Well, and he should have got more clay.
Granite, you mean? Marble. Marble.
Yes.
I think they might have ran into marble when they got to that point, do you reckon?
There's always been body shaming around, hasn't there?
Oh, there has. The worst people to suffer are the women, which is unfortunate because there's a lot of body shaming in the way the women's shapes are, you know, which to me is wrong. Well, of course, fashions have gone in and out of art for many, many years. Like Peter Paul Rubens always fated very buxom ladies. All of his nudes were quite buxom with a little bit of shushy stuff going around the right parts sort of thing, you know. But he liked the larger lady. Yeah. And then you've got the other people that like the became a bit more fashionable to paint them with in the narrower style, you know. And fashions change, of course, all the time.
And then along came Twiggy.
And then along came Twiggy, yes.
Well, at least this is Katie Lang sang for us in the first song, In Perfect Dreams, you can dream of the figurine or the figure that you would wish to be or the ones that interest you. Now, how's about that for a link? In your dreams.
In the dreams. So I can't remember mine.
I can't remember mine. I wake up.
I know we have them, but I can't remember them. Because you have dreams when you have REM, rapid eye movement, and that's it.
A very good group, too.
Is it?
REM.
Yeah, they made a few good songs, you're right there.
But our brains need sleep, and it's like defragging your brain.
But it also puts a lot of thing into your brain, too. Your brain doesn't work right unless you've had the sleep. This is why when they sat all night in Parliament to pass that assisted dying bill, by the end of the night, they would have been not realising what they were doing.
Frazzled.
You get a bit frazzled, yeah. And that's why you have to have your 8 hours. You don't have to have 8 hours sleep, but you must have a reasonable amount.
And when you do go to sleep at night, don't expect to have continuous 8 hours of sleep.
No, you wake up.
You can have 2 4-hour sleeps, mm-hmm. and that's the way it used to be.
Well, that's why in the old days they went to bed when the sun went down and they got up when the sun came up, because they didn't have electricity or they didn't have candle lights. But they would sleep for 4 hours and then get up in the middle of the night to stoke the fire to make sure the fire was still going so that they could get food in the morning and what have you. And then they would go back to bed sleep for another 4 hours when the sun came up.
Yeah.
And this is the way it was.
They had to wake up then because of daylight saving and close their blinds because they didn't want to fade the carpet.
That's exactly right,
But Shakespeare mentioned first sleep and second sleep of the night
time. That's right, It used to be the way, but these days, with the invention of, first of all, candles which brought light, not enough light to do anything, but it was Edison and the invention of the electric light bulb that changed the whole concept of sleep. And now we've got lights on in buildings 24/7.
Does your Eddie wake you up in the middle of the night?
No, and he sleeps all the way through too.
Oh, you've got him well trained.
Friends of mine have a 3-week-old baby girl.
Oh.
And we're not allowed to talk about sleep.
No. Now, if you want to see something about having baby girls, watch The Letdown, which is the new show on the ABC. It's all about young mothers, people having babies, and it's so funny, but it's so right on about.
It's fair to say it's warts and all.
It's warts and all. Yeah. Very clever. Yeah, but that's lack of sleep with women with babies.
Yeah.
The men seem to just nod off and go off to sleep and. Mum has to get up or the mother has to get up.
I mean, they tell us that we can have a 10-minute nap or a speed nap or whatever, and that can do a lot of repairing. Mm-hmm. And that is usual for people. You see that on the country roads, if you're feeling drowsy, have a speed nap.
A power nap, yep.
Power nap, that's right.
Yep. But 10 minutes is all you need for a power nap. Mm-hmm. If you have it any longer, your brain takes a while more to wake up. Because I've done that at home. I've thought I'll have a little 10-minute nap, and it's gone into 40 minutes. And I wake up and go, oh.
I was just going to ask, how do you know when the 10 minutes are up if you're asleep?
Yeah, well, I don't know. But normally I will leave a radio on in the kitchen and say 10 minutes before the news is ready to come on, and you hear the news theme and you wake up.
Well, there you go.
I'm stuck for words. But we really
need sleep. You cannot go without it.
And don't feel guilty about waking up in the middle of the night.
Nope.
Just get up and do something. Go and watch a little bit of TV. Yeah. That's surely to send you to bed. No, don't watch TV because that turns your brain on.
That's right. Don't pick up your mobile phone and start reading the messages that have come through while you're asleep. And don't go out onto the computer because that is the really...
The blue worst, light.
That's the worst thing you can possibly do. But the only problem with you people that have shift work, that work constantly, where they don't get to sleep at night but they sleep during the day, that must be like hell, I reckon, because it's not your body has to readjust completely.
You'd be in a constant state of jet lag.
Yeah.
Which is not a good state to be in.
Thank you very much for being with us today.
On my special birthday show.
Oh,
yes. This afternoon.
How are you going to celebrate?
I'm not.
Oh.
Celebration of birthdays is for the young.
You'll be in later.
Yes, I'll be in here on Wednesday morning. Feel free to call me and wish me happy birthday.
So thanks for being with us. See you next week.
Bye for now. Have a good one.
Bye.
G'day, Steve. Are you okay, mate?
If a mate's struggling, these 4 steps could change their life. Ask, are you okay? Listen. Encourage action and check in. Find out more at ruok.org.au.
Joy is proud to support this community service message.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.